Father, thank you so much. Thank you for a sense of humor. Thank you for loving us. Wow. Father, you've given me a word for this morning. Help me to convey it. Speak through me. Help our ears to be open to hear your truth, the things that you want to speak to our hearts this morning. Father, for those who need to hear, open their ears, open their heart. Help us to be able to receive your love and your healing. And not only receive it, but be people who would go out and in love give to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Well, let me tell you, as I was seeking the Lord for what to speak about this week, he gave me a tall order. And I just want to say, I don't think I can do it justice in one class, so this will probably be at least a two-parter. When I speak again in a few weeks, I'll probably finish it up. Or
a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm scheduled in a couple more weeks, so there's going to be a gap between one and the other, all right? But it'll work, because you can listen to the one, and it's a complete one, and then you listen to the next one, it'd be a complete one. But it's such a big topic. I just can't do justice in just 45 minutes. So when I sought the Lord, he said, some of my people don't receive healing because they don't know how much I value them. See, if you don't know how much God loves you and how much he values you, you're going to struggle having intimacy with him. And do you know that it's when that single-minded focus of just fellowshipping with the Father on a daily basis, that longing of your heart where you want to involve him in every part of your day, right? You want to take him to work with you. You want to take him to play with you. You want to just be with him everywhere you go. It's that single-minded focus, that intimacy that you spend with him that opens the doors for everything to flow. And it's really, really hard to receive from somebody if you don't really understand. And I dealt with this myself for a long time. Jesus was the cool dude of the Godhead, right? He was the guy that definitely you saw love, nothing but love in Jesus. You know, he would hug a leper. It wasn't enough just to say, you're healed. He would go up and embrace them, right? But I had a hard time understanding God's love for me, because of some of the things in the Old Testament made it look, right? Just being honest, like God's a mean guy. Jesus is the nice guy. Right? Am I being real?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit's mysterious.
Right? So the Lord took me on a journey to understand the love of the Father, because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. And we get a wrong picture sometimes by reading the Old Testament, because we're looking through a different lens. We need to look through the lens of love. So what I'm going to try to do is show you your value to him and how it pertains to healing. Because face it, healing is something we want to receive and we should receive through salvation. It's part of our salvation. It's been given. It's part of being able to receive through knowing the value. So the title of this is going to be God's Value of You Equals Healing. Okay? So let's go to Genesis. We're going to talk about how much God loves you. We got to start in the beginning a little bit, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Genesis 1.
Good place to start.
Genesis 1. And I'm just going to kind of give you an overview. In Genesis, right? God created the heavens and the earth. He spent 5 days creating everything, the sky, the stars, the moon, the sun, earth, water, plants, animals. I mean, everything. He spent 5 days creating everything that would be needed. And then he created who?
Man.
Us, right? He made sure everything that we would have need for was here before he ever created us. What kind of an act of love is that? If you're going to have a baby, do you make sure you have everything you need for that child before it's born?
Absolutely.
Why? Because you already love it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it hasn't been birthed yet, you're already in love with it, and you want to make sure that it has everything it's going to need when it arrives. God made sure everything that we would need would be there before we ever arrived. I mean, otherwise, if he'd have made us first, would we just kind of float around in space for a while looking for a place to land our feet and get a drink? You know what I mean? It'd have been awkward, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26. It's a hard chapter to find. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." And we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit in a minute. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." We have dominion over creeps. The devil's a creep, and the things he's trying to put on you, you got dominion over him, okay?
Amen.
Just saying. I mean, I'm probably reading that out of context a little bit, but it works. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, God, he created them. Male, female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Then God blessed them. I looked up the word bless in Strong's, an act of adoration. Right there we see, not only did he create everything that we would ever need before he ever created us, which, who knows, that included health. There was no sickness in the Garden of Eden, right?
No.
Right?
No.
Okay. Created everything that we would need and then blessed us. In other words, an act of adoration. He adored Adam and Eve. He adores you. He created us because of love. If you ever wondered why did God create mankind? Because perfect love reproduces.
Mm-hmm.
Man and a woman fall in love, they get married. What usually happens next? Usually.
Baby carriage.
They end up having babies, right? Why is that? Do they have to have a baby? Do they need a baby to complete them or something?
No.
They want to share their love with an offspring, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have perfect unity, perfect love from the very beginning. They don't need us, but love reproduces. God created us to share his love with us. We can see right from the very beginning his love for us. We were his crowning achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that he created, if you read through further on as he talked about creating the trees, the birds, all that stuff, he created everything to reproduce after its own kind, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Trees reproduced after their own kind of trees. Animals produced after their own kind of animals. Everything produced after its own kind. Who did he create us like?
Yeah.
Like him, after his own kind.
And it says, our image.
When we have children, what do we create them to be like?
Us.
Watermelons? No. In our image. We are created in his image, in God's very own image. We're his children, his offspring. We're not just some toy that he put out there so he could shoot darts at us and see if he can get us to line up and pony up with stuff. Maybe if they fear me enough, I get him to do this and that. That wasn't it at all. He adores us. He reproduced because of love. There was no sickness in the garden because there was no sin consciousness in the garden until there was sin in the garden, right? When you look at the curses that were placed on Adam and Eve after there was sin, sickness really wasn't there, although you can kind of tie it in. But it's about the sin consciousness, that the knowing the difference between good and evil and knowing your sin made us feel like enemies of God. And sickness, as time went on, the more people sin, the more sickness prevails. Listen, sin will make you sick. Right? Gives you a guilty conscience. Churns you all up inside. It'll cause sickness.
Cause you to fear.
So, sickness all has its roots in the devil and sin. So when sin came into the world, and sickness along with it, think of this. Before that, God would come and walk in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, but did he not? We see that was kind of his deal. He'd come spend time with him personally. And I can kind of picture it like this, right? He would show up and they would run to him. You know, like your own children run to you when you get home from work. Daddy, 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 look what I found over here. I saw this bug that had big old eyes. It's really cool. And he enjoyed talking with them. You know how I know he liked talking with them? He let Adam choose all the names of the animals, didn't he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He could have just done it himself. Mm-hmm. He said, Adam doesn't have anything, any kind of helpmate. He needs a helpmate. Then what's the next thing you read after he says, Adam needs a helpmate? Everything else has its own. There's a male and a female animal. But Adam had none. And the next thing he said was, so God took Adam and allowed him to name all the animals of the earth. Wait, what does that have to do with Adam having a helpmate? He loved him so much, he spent time, who knows how long it took, for them together, God and Adam, to look at every animal there was and name it. All that time. And all that time he spent looking at all the animals and naming them, I bet he noticed that there was a male and a female of every kind to reproduce after. And this is just my looking at things and seeing what could be. Okay, so I'm not saying this is written in the Bible. I'm saying it just makes sense when I read it. Okay? I have a feeling at some point Adam said, hey, Daddy, why is there just me? I don't have what they have. And I bet he said, well, I've been waiting for you to ask. Because God doesn't force his will on us. He gives us a will, right? God knew all along he wanted to create a woman for man. But he spent time with man, and I believe he allowed man to bring the subject up. Maybe he brought the subject up, but let Adam choose. I'm just saying it was cooperation. God didn't force anything. Because you know what? Love doesn't force. God loves you, but he won't force you to accept your healing. Does he want you to accept your healing? Absolutely. But he won't force you. Are you willing to dig in and get to know him a little bit better? Are you willing to really look and see how much he loves you so that you can trust that he's not just the mean part of the Godhead and Jesus is the fun part? So somebody's mind in the garden changed. Was it God's mind about us that changed in the garden? So what changed in the garden? Whose mind changed in the garden after sin?
Man's
opinion or judgment of God changed because of sin, didn't it? Nothing changed about God. He still adored us. He adored Adam and Eve. After they sinned, did he not go to the garden to talk with them again? Did he go, oh, they blew it now. Not going. I'm not going there anymore. They just blew it. No. He still went to the garden to talk with them, didn't he? His opinion of us never changed. But all of a sudden, we had a guilty conscience, and Adam and Eve knew they were naked and they were ashamed. And when Daddy came into the garden, instead of running to him, they ran and hid from him. Can you imagine how you would feel if you came home from work and your kids that were coming running to meet you at the door every time all of a sudden ran and hid in a closet because you came home? How would that feel? See, man's opinion of God is what changed after sin. We started looking at God as a judge instead of a daddy. It's never what God wanted for us. But that's what sin does to us. It clouds our minds up. Makes us enemies of God. In Colossians it says that we became enemies of God in our own minds due to evil deeds. Sin will make you feel like an enemy of God when nothing's further from the truth. It should run you to him because he's the healer of your broken heart. Your sin has already been taken care of. Run to him. He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your emotions. He wants to heal every part of you. He loves you that much. Okay, so this side of the cross, let's fast forward a little bit. Get out of the Old Testament a little bit. Jesus became sin for us, and we have dominion over sickness and the author of it. Do you know you have authority over the devil? Are you a believer? Everyone in here?
Absolutely.
You have authority over the devil. Where does sickness come from?
The devil.
So do you have authority over sickness?
Yes.
What else do you have over it? Victory? Mm-hmm. You already have victory over sickness because you have victory over the devil. See, not understanding God's love for you makes you feel like this a lot of times. Yeah, I know that God heals. I see it in the Word. I hear the teaching about it. But then you got a problem. Something comes up, and you start thinking about things you've done wrong. Maybe I'm not receiving healing because I did this or I did that. Maybe God's not happy with me because of this or that. What else do I need to do to receive my healing? Maybe I haven't fasted enough. Maybe I haven't paid all my tithes. There's so many things that come up in our minds. You know, there's no I in healing. It's all him. Mm-hmm. It's not about what you do. It's about what he did. It's not about your love. It's about his love. He's very happy for you to receive healing because you can understand his love more in it. Second Corinthians 5:21. I think most of us are probably, to some degree, familiar with this verse. For he made him, who? Jesus, right? For he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be what for us? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who knew no sin at all, became sin for us on the cross. Take a minute and drink that in. He didn't just go to the cross to pay for sin. He became it. He never sinned, not once in his life. But on the cross, every sin that any man could ever commit for all time, past, present, and future, he became. And it was crucified and put to death on the cross. See, sometimes we get this image that Jesus took my place on the cross because God needed to punish somebody for sin. So Jesus was the one that got punished. That's the wrong concept of what happened. Sin was the enemy that was crucified on the cross. Sin is what was destroying the people God loves. Sin was causing mankind to be sick. What good father wants his children to be sick? Sin was causing his children to do horrible things to each other. What good father wants that? Sin was the enemy that was on the cross. And sin needed to be dealt with so that we could live without the guilt of sin, without the repercussions of sin. That by faith in him, we live sin-free spiritually. Still have a mind and a body, you still do things, but you don't have to be in bondage to sin any longer. Do you know before the cross, if you were stuck in sin, you were stuck in sin. There was no redemption for you. You could sacrifice a cover to shortly for a short period of time. It did not take it away. It says that he became sin for us that we could become, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know why it says that we might become? Because it takes this side of the cross, it takes faith in what Jesus did and who he is and that he raised from the grave to become born again and become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Will everybody do that?
No.
That's why that we might. If you believe, you are. Again, the only thing you had to do was believe. You heard the message, and you heard the message, and you heard it in your spirit because God called you. So again, it's not dependent on what you did, but what he did. He enlightened your heart to the truth, and you accepted it. And you became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything you've ever done wrong, everything you'll ever do wrong, was placed on Jesus. He took that and he gave you his everything right. So that you could live free of guilt and condemnation. So that you could receive healing. So you could receive every blessing. So we could do many lessons on sin consciousness, and I just don't have time to go into all of it. But just to give you a quick about this, we shouldn't live our life conscious of what is and isn't sin. We should live our life conscious of what is righteous, following the love that God placed in our heart, not looking for where the line in the sand is of sin and just seeing how close we can get to it without stepping over it, right? When you know God's value of you, you won't look for the line. You'll walk around looking to be a blessing because you're blessed. You give because you got. You'll do better on accident than you ever did trying to do it on purpose. It's that change from the inside out. It's not just modified behavior. It's a true change. So Jesus came basically then to connect us to the Father, right? See, far too often we feel like, okay, me and Jesus, we're connected. I can talk to Jesus. But you know why he did what he did? So you could talk to the Father. He wants you to be back into fatherhood with him, to understand him as a good, good father. If you didn't see Jesus doing it in the New Testament, God wasn't doing it in the Old Testament. Do you know who was hugging the leper when he was healing him? Jesus' arms were being used by God, the Father, to show the Father loves you. When Jesus raised the boy in Nain from the dead, because the widow didn't have anyone to take care of her, that was God looking down with mercy and using Jesus' hand to touch the casket and raise the son. Everything you saw Jesus doing was because God was doing it. We had a wrong image of God through sin and sin consciousness. Jesus came to reconcile us to the Father, to live free from those guilt and shame. And only when you can look at it that way and be free from guilt and shame will you be free to receive. It's hard to trust that you can receive somebody, something from somebody if you don't know you can trust them, if you don't know they love you. This is what he wants you to understand. You need to understand his value. You're of great value to him. Look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. So this is when Jesus was born. God sent his son that whoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life, right? So when Jesus was born, Luke 2 chapter verse 13, that night an angel appeared to a bunch of shepherds in the field, right? He said, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Did this mean peace, goodwill amongst men? Everybody's going to get along now? That's not what he's saying, right? Peace, goodwill towards men from God. This peace means harmony. There is now harmony between God and us. Think of it like this. If you had an orchestra and every instrument in it was out of tune, what would it sound like?
Chaos.
Chaos, right? Well, see, we were instruments that were out of tune. God was the only one that was in tune, and we were all struggling to get our tune right so we could tune in and have harmony with God. Jesus brought the tuning fork to your instrument. He brought harmony between God and us. We can play a sweet song with the Lord now. Mm-hmm. There's harmony between God and us. That's a pretty picture. Goodwill means kindly intent, delight, pleasure, satisfaction. This is from God towards us. Harmony and satisfaction, pleasure. Do you feel like God doesn't take pleasure in you? Especially when somebody treated you wrong at work over and over and over, and all you can think is, I just don't even want to talk to this guy anymore. Lord, why don't you get me transferred? That might make you feel like you don't satisfy the Lord very much, but you know what? You're no surprise. He's like that good parent that puts you in situations and leaves you there to work them out so that you can grind off a few rough edges. What good parent doesn't train their child? Right? Is it not love to train a child?
Yes.
He's not surprised by the attitude you had. But if you know how much he loves you, you can look at that attitude and go like, you know, Daddy, I got a stinky attitude today. I really do. But thank you that you don't hold it against me. Mm-hmm. And watch your attitude change really quick. So does this sound like a God who wants or wills sickness on you or would hold sickness back? Look at the lengths he went through to bring peace to us. He's got no desire for you to be sick. The problem is we want to be sick more than we want to be healed. I mean, just being honest. Just being honest. I don't want to be sick. I can say it all I want, but if I'm not willing to press in and get intimate with the Father and allow his healing to flow in my body, maybe I need to look at myself. Maybe I'm not willing to allow his love to flow into me. Maybe I got some issues I need to deal with. Maybe he's trying to put a finger on a button somewhere to say, hey, let's take care of this situation so that you can see me in a better light. You know, it's true what they say. You have as much of God as you want. Sometimes we're afraid because of that wrong image of God, we're afraid to get too close because he's going to see the real me. Those stinking attitudes. You know, he already knows the real you. He knows the real you better than you know the real you. Again, you're no surprise.
Psalm 139.
And he loves you with a love you could never imagine, just the same. See, He bases his love and his adoration and his blessings on his own love and performance, not yours. So healing is based on his love and his adoration for you, not on your performance. It was part of salvation. It's not based on you. It's based on his love. All you have to do, receive it. Can you trust him? Can this be too good? The gospel is called the good news. The almost too good to be true good news. Why is that? Because what I'm telling you right now. It almost seems too good to be true. It's not based on you. You could be healed in the middle of a sin. If in the middle of sin, you looked and said, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This isn't how I act. This isn't me. This is wrong things in my thinking acting out, but it's not who I am. It's based on what he's done and his love for you. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 44. Now I'm going to read you a couple parables. And these parables, I used to read backwards for a lot of years. And a lot of people still do read these backwards. And when you read them backwards, it'll mess you up. Because it makes it feel like you got some part to do in this. If you don't look at this with the right direction, okay? Okay, Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Who's the great treasure and who's the great pearl? See, I used to look at this like the kingdom of heaven, salvation, God is that great treasure that I need to die to everything and give everything I have to receive. Who paid everything?
Jesus.
So how do we get that backwards? You're the pearl of great value that he paid everything to have. You're the hidden treasure that he gave all to have. He gave everything. Think about this. Jesus, God, stripped himself of divinity to be born from a woman, right? Fully God, yet fully man, but stripped himself from the ability to use or the inclination even to use his godly attributes to do things, but to act and be as a man, born in flesh. That alone is such a huge act of love.
Yes.
How many people have a pet? Maybe a cat?
Five.
A fish? Would you be willing to become a cat or a fish to prove your love to them? It might be cool if I could do it for a few minutes. I'm just saying, if I could be a fish for 10 minutes, that would be awesome. Yeah, that would be really cool. That would be awesome. But not forever. I certainly don't want to die as a fish for my fish. All right? Don't put me on any little fishy crosses or nothing like that.
It's a fishy cross.
I don't know. Work with me here.
Something fishy about that.
Can you just imagine? God became us, became a man to prove his love for you. Why? Because sin was making you sick. Sin was destroying you. So he came as a man to become sin so that you could be freed from it. He gave everything, came as a man and was willing to go through everything that entailed the cross, the beating. Said that all his flesh was ripped from his bones. You could see all his bones. Whew. the nails through his wrists and his feet, hanging on the cross. Every sin, every sickness that would ever happen to mankind, placed in his body for us. I mean, if it wasn't enough he became a man like us to show his love, wow. Does this sound like a God that wants you sick?
No.
He's gone through great, great lengths to show his love for you so that you could receive everything he has for you, like it was meant to be in the garden. The problem is, this side of the garden, we have knowledge of sin. And the devil's there trying to warp your opinions about the Father so that you don't see this good, good news of everything your salvation is. Because if you do, you won't walk around sick. At least not for long. And James, it says to call people together, lay hands on the sick and pray, and they shall recover. Did you ever get prayed for and you didn't see anything happen right away? So maybe nothing happened? Was that a thought in your mind? Anybody? Does that mean nothing happened? It says, pray for them and they shall recover. Do you know sometimes it doesn't happen immediately to our eyes, but it happened immediately when we asked. Healing, it's done the minute your faith connected with it. Sometimes it plays out over a little bit of time. The devil does not have a right to take you out. Does not have a right to take you out with anything. A cold could take you out. You think it's no big deal that I recovered from a cold? You know you couldn't recover from a cold if God didn't place healing in your body? Never be deterred from believing that healing is done just because you didn't see a manifestation immediately, because manifestation has taken place. If you'll stick with it, you'll see it. I knew I wasn't going to get through all this. You know what? I'm going to stop right there. Can anybody tell me what's all included in salvation? Shoot it out there. Anybody?
Restoration.
Anything else?
What's the question?
What all does salvation entail? What does it include? Is it just
healing?
I don't go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven when I die?
Peace with
That's
God.
One, right? Peace?
Peace with God. Reconciliation.
Reconciliation. Healing.
Joy.
True joy.
Victory.
Victory. Righteousness.
A true hope.
What is righteousness? Right standing with God, right?
Yes.
He sees us one with his Son. We're in him. Peace, joy, righteousness, wholeness.
True love.
Everything's been given to us as salvation. It's all part of it. Because he loves you. The Father loves you so much that salvation wasn't just about getting you out of hell and into heaven when you die, but it was so life here. Remember, he created this earth with everything that we would need before he created us. Why?
So we could have abundant life here.
Because the world was a gift for us, wasn't it? Do you think he might still want you to enjoy this gift that he gave you,
mm-hmm.
called earth? Yeah. This is still a gift that he gave to mankind. He wants us to have dominion over it.
He doesn't want us to bide our time.
No, you're not just getting by until it's time to go to heaven. Man, if I was to give you a mansion and you never went and lived in it, I'd be like, wow, what a bummer. Right? I mean, I paid this huge price for this great mansion for you to live in, and you're still living in a one-bedroom apartment. Why? Did you not trust that it came with no strings attached? Could you just not receive it somehow? See, he's given you everything. through salvation. Because this earth was a gift, and he wants you to have dominion over the earth and know his love and reproduce his love. And you can't do that sick, busted, and disgusted. You just can't. You need to walk around in health, wholeness, peace, joy, the righteousness that you are in him, and it will show, and you won't be able to help but to reproduce, because perfect love reproduces. Right? So next time I speak, we'll go from this point, we'll move on a little bit, because there's just so much. For the Lord to say, this is something people need to hear about healing, okay? Means that a lot of people aren't getting it. God loves you, and you need to know his value of you. You can trust that he's gone through great length to bring healing to you. Anybody have anything they're going through today that they need healing, deliverance from? Let me just pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that you've made us one with your Son, that you are Abba Father to us now, Daddy. Yes. Not just the judge, but our Father who loves us immensely, which doesn't describe it good enough. Thank you that you've created the way for wholeness and healing in our lives. Lord, I pray for each person in here this morning, whatever their need would be, emotional, physical, financial, whatever it would be. Lord, we pray healing on their situation in Jesus' name. We speak the will of God in heaven on earth. We command your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We speak it out and we believe for it. Father, help us with any doubt that may be there. We may know, but there may be some doubt pulling against it. Take all doubt out that we could receive. And if somebody is having a hard time receiving the truth about your love, Lord, meet them in that area. Open up the word to them to see the truth, to receive your love in Jesus' name. Amen.